This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm John Matarazzo. Today on this special podcast, we have a pastor from Ottawa, Canada, that is going to be sharing about what it has been like to lead his congregation during this pandemic and the protests. We'll be right back in just a moment after this short message. My Charisma Shop is your source for spirit-filled books, Bibles, and devotionals. Our store will help you find the books and resources that you need to be the best you that God has purposed for you to be. Visit MyCharismaShop.com to see the full catalog of content to help you live your life by God's divine design and take advantage of these great deals today. This is John Matarazzo with the Charisma News Podcast, and I have a very special guest with me today, Pastor Sean Gaby of Kingdom Culture in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And Pastor Sean, it is great to have you with us. You're one of our podcasters on the Charisma Podcast Network with the Supernatural Leadership School and the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. And it is a pleasure to have you and to get your perspective of what is happening politically and just as a pastor, what is happening in Canada. We in the United States and other parts of the world are hearing things on the news and seeing things on social media, but we feel like it's the best idea to hear from somebody that is actually being affected by policies and the news of the day directly from you. So I'd love to hear your perspective on what is happening in Ottawa.
Well, John, thank you so much for having me on this this news podcast. I appreciate it. And I feel privileged to be able to be a part of what I feel like is historical. And I'm not just talking about the things that we're currently living right now, but the things we have lived in the last 2 years, and not just in Ottawa, Ontario, which has felt like, honestly, a world of its own at times, you know, traveling to even to other provinces during this last 2 years, during lockdowns and this pandemic. Ontario, as a province, has felt kind of like an island on its own. It's had some of the strictest lockdowns, strictest rules implemented over the last 2 years, up and down, off and on. Every time we feel like we get some traction, we kind of get pulled back. And so it's been challenging. And I think, you know, if you're asking me the question, over the last 2 years, a pastor's perspective of leading a church through a pandemic, really no pastor in our generation has ever had to do what pastors have to do right now.
Yeah.
You know, and even I say that, I cringe at myself, because I know that when you compare and you juxtapose, you know, what we're living and we have lived for the last 2 years as pastors leading churches in North America, it's nothing compared to what some other pastors have had to navigate for their whole ministry in other parts of the world, not just during a pandemic. So I even talk about these things sometimes and I'm like, man, like we have it really good. You know, we have it really good compared to some churches around the world where you're hiding all the time, and, you know, underground churches. And I've been to places like China, ministered in China, been to places where you had to kind of hide and you were kind of being followed. Like, I've been in those scenarios and know what it feels like. And so when I think about that and I think about what we've lived, and it doesn't negate what we've lived. And so many pastors have lost everything during this pandemic in the last 2 years. But it's a really big, different type of experience. And on the same side, it's been challenging. It's been the hardest of times and the best of times. And when I say best of times, it's been a time and opportunity for not only the Canadian church, the North American church, to pivot in ways, to find innovation, to find creativity, to do things differently, or things that they've always wanted to do, but never maybe had the chance to do, and now are forced to do because of some of the things that happened. If you look at scripture, the times the church prospered the most when things were the most oppressive, when governments were the most oppressive, when leadership often felt the most oppressive. And when it was really dark, that's when the greatest light shines. And I feel like sometimes we think government is the answer. And I know that as believers, we know that's not the answer, but it doesn't always look like we believe that by how we talk, how we pray, what we do in our actions. In the end, it's all about kingdom. And no matter what government is in place, no matter what rules, restrictions, or what we feel are like freedoms being taken away, in the end, God still wins. And if we have a God-winning attitude in these hard times, we will prosper. Like all throughout scripture, people prospered in famine. Isaac prospered in famine. Joseph prospered in the prison. I mean, he prospered in the palace. I mean, he went from the pit all the way to the palace. And he journeyed this journey of no matter what situation I am in, I am going to find favor. I'm going to pivot. And I'm going to pull on everything that God wants to give me. So that's the vantage point that I've had to continually keep my focus on during these last 2 years. Just to give you a little bit of a sort of detailed understanding of our situation. Yeah. Ontario, and you can stop me at any point, but on Ontario, I'll just keep talking, but Ontario, you know, we've had some of the strictest lockdowns. Like I said, church, we didn't have any church physically meeting for 23 months.
Wow.
And it's not that some churches were meeting, but because we are a mobile church, mm-hmm. you know, we had lost our venue in the fall of 2015. And so we have been a mobile church since the end of 2015. And, you know, we didn't have the luxury of having some of the situations that other people had during this pandemic. We were at the mercy of other venues and their mm-hmm. rules, their insurance policies, their mandates, their rules and restrictions. And so we just didn't have that luxury. And so we met. God literally kept us strong as a community throughout the whole pandemic. Of course, in seasons like this, there's always casualties. There's mm-hmm. always trauma, drama, things that happen, because moments like this put a magnifying glass on people's spiritual foundation.
That is like, so true. That is
nothing so true. New yeah. in our life really happens when these seasons happen. What's already there rears its head in seasons like this. Mm-hmm. Like pressure has a way of pulling out what's already on the inside. And so we've seen that. And the fallout of that's been hard. And there's lots of families that have broken up because of this, the pressure of the pandemic, relational discord, like division, all that kind of stuff. But on the same side, people are encountering Jesus. People are like building stronger families. There's Amen. This light and the darkness at the same time happening during this last season. So for us, finally, just to kind of bring it a short story to a full mm-hmm. circle closure moment, after 23 months, just 2 weeks ago, we relaunched physically in a brand new venue.
Wow.
And so, and it's so refreshing. And I just look at the season and I'm like, you know what? We needed, and I don't want to say that, it sounds kind of bad, even theologically, we don't need it. But at the same time, God is so redemptive mm-hmm. that he uses it. He's so good that he takes what kind of feels not so good, turns it into something really good to wake up the church. I think all of Amen. This stuff that's been Amen. Going on, it's woken up the church, especially in Canada, especially in places like where I live, where it's been a little more tough than some of the other provinces in my country.
Amen. I do believe that I agree with you that God is waking up the church, waking up his church. You mentioned a phrase a couple different times in what you were just saying there about pivoting. And, you know, as you were talking about, you know, it's easy for people to say, you know, this, you know, what's going on in China and other persecuted countries, you know, we can't really make that comparison. But at the same time, we went from freedom to have to pivot really quickly to dealing with restrictions and regulations, where as China Christians there have been able to develop plans and really implement those, where we've had to then pivot. So we've all of a sudden had to change direction, change gears, and to be able to still do what God's calling us to do, but we just weren't used to it. And, you know, I just think the whole concept of pivoting and listening to the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in these difficult times, that is such a key thing. And that's what, you know, anybody that's not willing to be flexible in the kingdom of God is going to be broken. And anybody that can be flexible will be bent for sure. And so, you know, what are some of the things that you have been able to do that you feel has been a successful way to help pivot?
Well, I think there's lots of personal things that I feel like I've been able to do, but from a pastoral, let's say organizational, like not-for-profit organizational church level, I feel like it's really forced us to, for us, it's kind of different because we used to always be online And then we went, we went mobile. We kind of pulled the online stuff because we were going from, we had 13 venues in 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to actually pull off online because we had just inconsistencies with our internet everywhere we went. It was just problematic. So we were already planning to kind of relaunch online and the pandemic just forced it to happen quicker.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, of course, that's one way, and everybody's had to do that. Some people haven't done it well and they've kind of given up, and some people have done it extremely well and have prospered. When I say prospered, they've grown, they've matured, they've expanded, they've launched new campuses because of that. And I'm speaking from a church level. And so for us, that was a huge thing. I think it forced us to do things we were already planning to do and just sped up the process. It accelerated everything. I know for me, it forced me to even produce more content. It forced me to we launched an online school, Supernatural Leadership School, which is, you know, really connected, interconnected with the podcast that's also on Charisma. Personally, I've done a lot of other personal things during this time as well. And I think it's just seasons like this are constantly forcing us to reevaluate how we do what we do and what we do. And so in all of that, we're always innovating. We're always pivoting. And yeah, I could talk probably for a long time about the little key things that we have done. But for the most part, it really just forced us to do what we were already planning to do quicker.
Yeah. And there's that sense of urgency and importance about what we're doing. You know, it's one of the things that I've paid attention to in Canadian news is like Pastor Arthur Pulaski. He's been arrested several different times for opening his church in the area that he's been in. You know, what kind of persecution like that are you seeing?
Ooh, that's a deep one, I think. Yeah.
And I'm just asking from your perspective. Yeah. You know, I'm not expecting you to be an expert on the legal or political things. I just want to know, like, as a pastor, what kind of difficulties is that?
For sure. I think, you know, our challenges have been different than some of my friends. And like you mentioned, Arthur, people that have been fined, people that are, you know, going through legal battles now because of how they navigated as a church body, you know, dealing with the restrictions, meeting, not meeting. And there's been a little bit of a division, honestly, probably in America too, with how churches have responded. Some churches are like, you should be a place that, you know, vaccinates everybody and you need to enforce it and share it from the pulpit. And there's some that are totally the opposite. And there's this war going on, you know, because of all this stuff. And I think it's honestly kind of ridiculous. Like, these things shouldn't be so controversial. What's controversial is righteousness, hell, Jesus being the only way. Like, that's controversial. You know, that's scandalous. Paul calls it the scandalous gospel. And here we're arguing about some things that in eternity, I really don't think is going to matter that much. But it's just the unfortunate reality of what we live as humans and leaders. But, you know, I think for us, some of the things that I've seen is, and this is a whole other like rabbit trail, and we could call it persecution or not, but it's more persecution of the gospel where people have just lost their faith. I mean, I've watched so many people's faith get shipwrecked during these last 2 years. And there's been an assault. I mean, we call it deconstruction. You probably heard it many times.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing a lot about this, yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, obviously, you know, as we renew our mind to think more like him, we're always sort of deconstructing. I don't really like that word because it's kind of used in a different way now. But a lot of people have just lost their faith and shipwrecked their faith. And so I've seen a lot of that happen during the season. You could call it because of the pandemic, but like I said earlier, it's just a magnifying glass of what I think were cracked foundations from the beginning, possibly. And so I've seen a lot of persecutions, honestly, concerning that more than anything else. I know, of course, there's a divide on the whole COVID stuff, and we could go into that probably for like another hour of conversation. But for time's sake, that's a little bit of what I've noticed is happening. It's the deconstruction of just faith. It's the loss of faith during this time. That's been a huge assault. And I would call that a level of persecution against the gospel, if I could say it like that. It's just like the gospel, the message of the gospel has been attacked and assaulted in people in this last season extremely.
Amen. You very well put. you know, I have to ask you about the convoy that was up in your area. You know, there's truckers that went from the western part of Canada and just drove all the way to the capital there. Did you get to see any of that, or what was going on? What was your experience, or what were people talking about?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say this. I think, you know, it saddens me that something like this has become so controversial. And I think much of the controversy centered around some of the bad apples. Like in any movement, any protest, you're going to have some people that basically blanket the whole thing as negative to many people. I mean, even in our own community and culture, people are divided on it. Our own church community. You know, I went down there with my son, you know, for multiple reasons. Number one, I wanted to expose him to something that will be historic and is historic. I mean, we're seeing it continue even in the U.S. Whether someone agrees with the premise or not is irrelevant to me. It's historic. And the things that are happening in this time, even the unity that's happening. And some would say, well, it's been divisive and not everybody. It's like sort of one type of people, you know. And yes, there might be some truth to that. There might be some merit to that, but you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater just because some bad things happened. Like any protest that I've ever been a part of or seen or joined in on, any initiative, there's always, it's like when a big wave throws up on the shore, like it's a big wave, it's powerful, but there's going to be some dirt. There's going to be some stuff from the bottom that's thrown up onto the shore that nobody wants. It's like the disgusting stuff that nobody wants. And we don't want that, but we still see value in the big wave. And I think this protest has been a lot of that. And, you know, I went down there with my son and my 9-year-old son, and it was an amazing experience for him. And the goal was to go down there, minister to people. To me, man, I grew up in Ottawa my whole life, and I've never felt so much unity, love, kindness, energy in my city ever, even on Canada Day, like your Independence Day, like our Canada Day, like nothing compared. And of course, the focus is different. And of course, like I said, I don't agree with every little person that's like down there and, you know, doing some of the things that they were doing. But for the most part, I have never felt what I felt. And my son had an amazing encounter with God while he was down there, really encouraged him. I've never seen so many people from across Canada drive down just to spend a weekend in my city. Wow. To be in the cold with no bathrooms. I'm talking about like no bathrooms, like open. And I went down like the first weekend. Now, and I have a lot of friends that were down there like literally every day, like six to 8 hours a day. They were a part of helping the news media down there. I didn't go. I wish I could have gone down more. You know, I didn't have the chance to go down a lot. It happened to come at a time when we were relaunching everything. And it was just a crazy, you know, 3-week window for us. And but I believe it's historic. And I think it's been divisive at the same time. And but in the end, you know, we'll only know in the future about the good that comes of this, or we'll see some of the bad that rears its ugly head because of this. I mean, there's always both sides. And I just think it shouldn't be so divisive. Like, I just don't think it should be as divisive as it is. But I get it. I get both sides. I hear both sides. But I just don't think it should be so divisive.
Well, I appreciate that you had the perspective of taking your son there. You know, your 9-year-old son, and just to expose him to something that, as you said very eloquently, that this will be historic. This is historic, and you were exposing him to that. But you said something that I have to ask about this. You said that your son had an encounter with God there. Can you please elaborate that? If that's too personal, I respect that. But I really want to hear.
Yeah. I think, you know, for him, it was a big deal. And for me, it was too, because, you know, I was going to go down there either way. And I really felt to ask my son. He's 9 years old. And I think, you know, he saw a lot of the videos. You know, you can get when you get overwhelmed by some of the videos that are online, it could put either fear in you or faith in you. And let's just say, I'm sure that from some of the things that he was seeing and hearing, it put a little bit of fear in him. Like, is it safe? Sure. You know, because you hear kind of both sides of the coin, you know, and we hadn't been down there yet. And I was going to go down there, like I said, either way. But I felt he was to come. And we had a little bit of a wrestle. Like, he was just unsure. Is he going to be safe? Even, you know, as a father, I'm like, you're going to be safe. It's going to be good. Like, I've got you. I've been in way more crazy scenarios. I used to lead teams down to Mardi Gras every year for 7 years.
Wow.
So this is like nothing compared to Mardi Gras or other big crazy moments. This is like the safest possible, you know? So anyways, I brought him down there and he ended up deciding, long story short, I got down there and I actually had no wallet. I had no jacket, no gloves. I forgot everything. It's a long story. I don't want to go into it, but I forgot it all. So I'm like, I don't even know how we're going to do this. It was like minus 27 degrees Celsius that day. It was one of the coldest days up until that point. And I had nothing. So I knew it was going to be a short trip, but I felt like God wanted him there and he needed to hear somehow. And this may be small for some people, but it was big for him. He needed to hear somehow that God wanted him there because he had so much fear. He was conquering his fear, you know? So went down there. Long story short, I leaned over to him while we were walking up to the hill. And, you know, our objective was to like minister to some people. And I look over down at him and I say, listen, I just believe that God wanted you here, Ezekiel. His name's Ezekiel. And right when I said that, about like maybe 30 seconds after I said that, in crowds of people, we were sandwiched like sardines. This lady, this mom from Alberta, who had driven down from Alberta with her husband. She has three kids. She didn't bring her kids. They drove down from Alberta, which is a very far drive, just to be there, leans over to my son right after I said this. And she didn't hear me because she was way behind me. She walked up. She leans over to my son and says, it is so good that you are here. You are a part of history and you are a part of something that's going to impact your future. And I just saw my son, like it was like God was reminding him, speaking to him, that he conquered his fear and he was a part of something that he needed to be a part of. He needed to witness. And it was like, just for him, it was like an encounter where God's voice was real to my son, that he was supposed to be there. Even just to hear that from that woman, he was struggling. He didn't want to be there. He was in fear. And it was like, it broke the fear. It's like, okay, God, I know you're speaking. My dad just told me you should be here. And this woman that we've never met before leans in and says, you know, you're supposed to be here. This is an encouraging. I have three kids at home. They didn't come. And I can't believe you're a 9-year-old and you're here. And it was amazing. Honestly, that encouraged me. Only reason why I went was for that, to expose my son. Hey, I'm winning as a dad. And I just felt like it was just an awesome moment.
Yes, you definitely are winning as a dad with that. I'm very glad I asked that question there and we didn't let that one sneak by. But my goodness, the whole concept of conquering fear and we get to be part of something that God is doing. Like that, I think, is the message that I'm taking away from that story, that, you know, God is our father and he's going to keep us safe. And through him, our fear is conquered. And then we can not just be on the sidelines, we can be a part of something great, a part of something that is historic, and a part of something that helps establish that kingdom culture in the world. And, you know, I as we're wrapping up here, I just want to give you an opportunity to just, again, tell people about your podcast and just how to connect with you.
Yeah. You know, first off, I want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm sure we could talk for hours about all these topics. They're deep topics, but
I might have to bring you back about the Mardi Gras story for sure.
Sure. Oh, I have lots of those stories, man. Let me tell you. But the podcast, Supernatural Leadership Podcast, the whole premise is we have a lot of great leadership podcasts out there, but we're really diving into the difference between principle-led leadership and presence-led leadership. That's what makes a supernatural leader. John 5:19, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And so this whole podcast, yes, we have interviews on there, but a lot of teaching on activating the supernatural in your leadership in the marketplace, whether you're a businessman in government and any sphere of influence. God has called you to not just be a good leader, but to be a supernatural leader like Daniel was. And so that's the premise of the podcast. And we have a school called the Supernatural Leadership School. You can visit supernaturalleadership.com. And online school, online e-course, check that out. But it's kind of connected in a sense of the podcast is really a supplement addition to the school, but the school is where you get the nuts and bolts and really go deep. And so those are two things, and I'm sure it will be in the description for you. But hope that explains.
We've trained you well on the Charisma Podcast Network that, yes, the information will be in the description. You can just click that, and that'll take you right to Sean's information. Well, Pastor Sean Gaby, it is a pleasure to have you from the Kingdom Culture Church Ministry. It is a pleasure to have you here to talk about, from a pastor's perspective, what has been going on in Canada with the church and with these protests. But as we're wrapping up here, I just want to remind all of our listeners that God has conquered fear and enabled you to be part of something great and historic. This is John Matarazzo from the Charisma News Podcast. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Podcast, One Story, Well Told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.